This is WordPress Weekly, your source for the latest news, plugins, and interviews with influential leaders in the WordPress community. Here's your hosts, Jeff Chandler and Marcus Couch.
Welcome, everybody, to episode 249 of WordPress Weekly for Wednesday, September 28th, 2016. I'm your host, Jeff Chandler, joined by Marcus Couch.
Yo!
How's it going? It's going pretty good. Boy, how about that show we had last week? You and I were checking the iTunes page for WordPress Weekly, in which we did get a couple of new reviews, but sometimes you can see the popularity of certain shows, and last week certainly had higher popularity levels than some of the shows we've done recently, and it had a well reception to that episode last week. I think we covered a lot of ground.
And here's the funny thing is I kind of assumed that this would be, that would be the episode to shut people up about this big problem of the mergers. And this episode received no comments.
Yeah.
Well, and so I guess that mission accomplished. I guess we provided all the content that needed to be addressed and answered within the community, and so be it. Book closed.
Yeah. Maybe we answered all the questions. Nothing else needs to be said.
That's right.
So speaking of reviews, we have three new reviews. In fact, the first one is by, almost a friend of the show, Drew Pitcher. And Marcus, go ahead. Let us know what Drew Pitcher thinks of our show.
Whether you've been active in the WordPress community for 10 minutes or 10 years, I guarantee you will immediately understand the value this podcast brings to the WordPress community table. I think I'm sitting at the end of that table. I don't know. I applaud Jeff and Marcus for having established a solid foundation upon which they've built quality programming week in and week out. It's a joy to listen to, and I recommend it for everyone from the casual user to the advanced developer. The fact that this podcast is rapidly approaching the 250 episode mark as of the time of this writing, it's really a testament to the quality of what WordPress Weekly has become. This is one long-time listener, first-time reviewer who is looking forward to what Jeff and Marcus can come up with next.
No, and that's from Drew James, who does a lot of work on WordPress Core. He's a core contributor. Thank you, Drew, for everything that you do for WordPress. And
absolutely.
Off the air, it was funny. I believe he resides in Colorado, and he works with Pippin Williamson now. And he was making the long drive from Colorado to Kansas, where Pippin is. And in between there and there is a whole lot of nowhere. So he downloaded a lot of podcasts and previous episodes. And it's kind of funny. He was talking to me off the air, and he goes, our voices are sort of serenading him through the pitch black darkness of Kansas at night. But after he listened to all the shows and the podcast, I saw something where he said something to the effect of it's sort of inspired him to maybe want to create his own podcast, do his own podcast. So we'll have to see what becomes of that. But I'm glad we were able to be with him through the blackness that is the middle of Kansas at night.
Yes, we have been on other iTunes reviews compared to a lighthouse in the dark. So glad that we could once again illuminate someone's life.
And we got a review here from Freygian Family.
Yeah, Dr. Andy.
Dr. Andy, okay. And
GitHub updater. That's what he makes.
Ah, okay, gotcha. And he says, this is the longest running WordPress podcast for a reason. Gave us 5 stars. Says that WordPress Weekly is the longest running WordPress podcast for a reason. The information is timely, accurate, and delivered in an engaging manner. Marcus and Jeffro play well off each other. Really? And the podcast ends before you know it. Listen, because you won't be disappointed. Thanks a lot, man. We really appreciate that review. And yeah, I think Marcus and I have a pretty good synergy together most of the time.
Yeah, the key to being a good co-host, by the way, if anybody that's listening, especially if you, all that one WordPress show with like 6 people on it, you got to know when to shut up. And that makes a good show. Two people talking over each other all the time doesn't work.
Yeah, you got that right. So our third and final review, Marcus.
is from Italian ST4, and I imagine that's Italian Stallion. Hey, Rocco.
Yeah.
This is the essential. Don't talk over my review reading here. This is the Essential WordPress Podcast. Jeff and Marcus are a tremendous asset to the WordPress community. I've been listening for a long time, and I look forward to listening every week. I've been developing with WordPress for a long time, and sometimes I don't have the time to read and keep up with everything happening in the WordPress ecosystem. Don't worry, you're not missing much. This podcast helps keep me in the loop and learn from them and their amazing guests. Cue it up.
I love that. I love that at the end. Cue it up. That's pretty cool. It's like a cool slogan for the show.
Cue it up. Cue it up. So thank you, Italian ST4.
And to everyone else who left us a review. And we love reading your reviews, good, bad, otherwise, indifference. As long as it's there, we want to hear what you think of the show. And give us an honest rating, and we'll read it on the show. Stop by iTunes and do that. Maybe we'll read it on next week's edition. I'd like to get a few more in.
Yeah, it'll be episode 250. Big highlight banner episode.
So, speaking of keeping people in the loop, last couple weeks, we've had some amazing guests on the show. We really dive deep with them in some conversations, which hasn't really afforded us the opportunity to talk much about what's going on in the WordPress community. So I thought today we'd sort of take a step back, take a deep breath, and cover some of the bigger stories that have happened in the WordPress community within the past 2 weeks or so. And there are quite a few to discuss.
Yep.
And the first one up is, you know, to me is sort of unprecedented because of its impacts. I haven't really encountered this. I haven't seen this happen before in my career of writing about WordPress, but Xerif Lite, which was the insanely popular WordPress theme, free WordPress theme on a WordPress theme directory, was suspended from the directory. So we're talking about at least 300,000 installs of this theme, which makes it pretty popular. So it was suspended because apparently it's violating the theme requirements, the requirements that themes have to abide by in order to stay on the WordPress theme directory. Now, Justin Tanlock, who is an admin on the theme review team, he performed a comprehensive review of the theme, and he found a dozen violations of the requirements, some of which had been outstanding for more than 15 months. So there you go. That gives you a sense of the timeline of what we're working with here. And Justin said that the team often receives complaints from theme authors who point to Xerif Lite as an example of a theme that is allowed to skirt the rules. So I think they finally doubled down, did a review of the theme, and said, hey, you know, that this has gone on for long enough. You're violating these guidelines. You're going to have to do something here to fall within them so that you can remain on the theme directory. So ThemeIsle, which is the company behind the theme, fixed some trivial issues, but there was one issue that they were held up on, and it has something to do with faux custom post types, which is, if you use the theme or you're familiar with it, it's those custom content blocks that are on the homepage of the theme, and they present things like team info, the about block, testimonials. The theme review team wanted them to use real custom post types for those themes, but they get into the issue here where they can't just switch those from faux custom post types to real custom post types because that would end up the sites would break, the themes would break for their current customers. So there's a lot of discussion about the best way to go about it. They were given at least 2 weeks after the review to fix it. They chose not to fix it, and they ended up getting suspended from the theme directory. So there's at least 300 sites out there with Xerif Lite installed that do not have access to updates from the WordPress theme directory. So what they've done is they've created on their website, the ThemeIsle website, there's an article, and of course we'll have links to this in the show notes if you're a Xerif Lite user, but they have a transition plugin which will pretty much change the URLs where you'll be able to pull updates from the ThemeIsle website instead of the WordPress theme directory. And when we're talking about the popularity and making money off the WordPress theme directory, I believe it was the CEO of the company said that he estimates Xerif Lite's suspension from the directory will diminish the company's revenue by $70,000 a month. The company makes $70,000 a month of revenue, but he estimates that it will decrease by 50% as most of it's driven by Xerif purchases. Now the company ThemeIsle is made up of about 15 people, but they're in the midst of reducing expenses and preparing for the dip in sales. That might mean layoffs or people part-time, something to that effect. And they're also going to cut out sponsorships for things like WordCamps, Pods.io, and some of the other things in the community. So
who runs this company?
I believe it is Inut Nyagu. Well, it's a crazy name, but
however you say his name, you're an idiot.
Whoa, why?
You're an idiot. You just cost half your company, half your revenue, because you didn't recognize the things that were going on and you got lazy when it came to support. I'm sorry, I have to say it, but if you say, okay, we make $70,000 and we're going to take a $35,000 hit, what would that support have cost you? Not $35,000 a month. That's just terrible business decisions.
I mean, a lot of people in the comments would agree with you. This post generated, hit the jackpot, over 142 comments where a lot of people were talking about the theme review team, the guidelines, themes are allowed to be accepted, why themes can sort of skirt the rules. And, you know, there's the theme review team is something that's in flux. Xerif probably should not have been approved in the first place for using faux custom post types, but because of the team at the time or some of the members that went through, it was approved. And the guidelines have, there's been things added, things changed over time. But when you're given a comprehensive review and things have been going on for at least 16 months, and then you're given, you know, a certain amount of time. And some of the theme review team members offered suggestions and say, hey, we will try and help you out with this to try and migrate your users or help them do something so that this didn't happen. And apparently they just chose not to break the theme or to come up with a solution. And now that's 300,000 users just like that are left scratching their head.
Yeah, we're just going to spend our money every month and not do any support or not, you know, help out the actual cash cow that we've created here. We're just going to let it starve to death. That makes me sick.
So there you go. So really important, if you're using Xerif Lite, you know, I'm highly recommend you to go check out the Xerif Lite transition plugin, which you can find on the themeisle.com website. At least that way you could transition over and be able to get updates when they're available. At the very least, but
I recommend you transition over to a new theme completely.
Well, there you go. I mean, there's also that. So, yeah, and like I said, I mean, I haven't in my career of writing about WordPress. This is huge. I mean, for them to enforce these guidelines and to the point where they knew the theme review team knew it was going to affect this many people. But I mean, when you look at everything they did and the discussions, and a lot of this stuff wasn't private. I mean, you could see the big, long responses to them in the ticket threads. I mean, a lot of this is public information. You can read and check out to see how this all came about. But I think the theme review team at the end made the right decision. And I think it'll be seen as a great example of, hey, it doesn't matter how popular you are. It doesn't matter how many users you have. If you don't want to follow the guidelines, this is what happens. And there you go. This is the theme I was just become example number exhibit A of the enforcement of the guidelines.
I'm going to tell you right now, $120,000 a year that they're not going to make. And here's something else. If you're a theme developer out there, write something really quick that can transition from that theme to your theme.
Oh boy. I mean, I don't know. I was going to say, isn't that poaching? But I guess not.
No.
You know, you're just offering something at a time of need where an unfortunate situation happened where the company is kind of at fault. And, you know, I guess you're just kind of taking advantage of it. I guess in a way that's smart business.
It seems to me like you're helping somebody off the side of the road. You're the Good Samaritan.
Yeah, that's another way to look at it. Mm-hmm. So there you go. Big news with Xerif Lite. So one of the other things I want to talk about, Kinsta. Kinsta is a pretty cool web hosting company that's had great reviews. They do a lot for the WordPress community, but they recently came out and said that they were going to award a $1,500 travel scholarship for one person to WordCamp US. Now, the web hosting company was founded back in 2013. They contribute to a lot of different WordCamps. In fact, this year alone, they're sponsoring at least 10 WordCamps, and they're looking to sponsor at least 15 to 20 next year. And they actually take a contributed percentage of the company's revenue, which is seven figures, and they contribute it back to the WordPress community. So that's really cool. But just some background information on this, because I think it's cool and I'm able to share this. But Sean O'Brien, who is the chief operating officer for Kinsta, approached me and said, hey, we're going to be giving away some tickets to WordCamp US, and we want to know if you'd like to write about it. And I go, I suppose, but let me give you an idea, something that I think would establish better goodwill. I think it would have a greater impact, and it would definitely be something I'd be interested in writing about. And I said, well, why don't you offer a scholarship to somebody? You know, why don't you offer to pay someone's expenses, travel, lodging, things related to the event? Because I think that would have a much greater impact. It'd be really cool, and it might change someone's life like other WordCamps have for other people. And he said, I didn't think of that. That's a good idea. Let me take it up with the higher-ups in my team at my company, and they loved it, and here we are. They got approved. So the winner actually has to have $1,500 up front. Well, they have to purchase lodging, airfare, and tickets to the event up to $1,500, which Kinsta will reimburse the winner via PayPal. So that's really cool. And reimbursements are only available for travel expenses, which makes complete sense because you don't want to be buying a TV on the backs of Kinsta. That's not the way this is supposed to work. But just a really cool concept. And this is like a full travel scholarship for somebody is something I would like to see more companies in the WordPress space offer if they can afford it, if they have the means to. Because just to pay someone who, and hopefully it goes to someone who could really get the most out of it, who deserves it, who, somebody like a Kim Parcell, who at the time, I remember, and there's a scholarship, there's an official travel scholarship in her name for someone, for women to attend WordCamp US, where she was in a situation where she really wanted to go to the largest event, WordPress event in the US. She couldn't, but she found the means through some sponsorship money or something through the foundation, but she was able to get there, and it like sort of changed her life. She loved it. It was the best time she ever had, and it put her on the map, and she even spoke at WordCamp San Francisco, so that was amazing. So, these types of opportunities for people can be life-changing, and I would love to see more companies provide those opportunities if they have the means to.
And there's no reason they shouldn't, because it's just a $40 ticket. And, the aforementioned, as we were talking about before, I'll be speaking at Affiliate Summit. Affiliate Summit is like $600 for early bird ticket price.
Well, that's just the price of admission.
Yeah. So, it makes sense for companies out there to provide scholarships for this because the buy-in is so much cheaper. There's no way you could do it for any other kind of conference except for a WordCamp. So I encourage this practice to continue.
Yeah. And I got to imagine, a lot of companies in the WordPress space hosting products, I think $1,500 is probably a drop in the bucket compared to what you're spending for most sponsorships for WordCamps.
Give out one less thing at your swag table and change somebody's life in the process.
I like the way you're thinking there. Now, unfortunately, because of the timing of the show, the submissions for applying for the sponsorship have already closed, but I just wanted to pass it out there to our listeners to know that some of these companies out there are doing this. And once we find out who the winner is, we'll be able to let you know on the show once they announce it. But just a cool gesture on their part.
Absolutely. It's a very commendable thing.
So EditFlow. EditFlow is a pretty popular workflow type editorial plugin that I've used for years.
I don't know anybody besides me and you that uses this plugin.
Really?
Yeah.
So it's actually an automatic developed plugin. They actually sort of inherited it from Daniel Bachhuber, who at one time was an automatic employee. But once they inherited it, it sort of it languished. I mean, we're talking about months, even maybe years of no updates, not knowing what's going on, dealing with bugs, with a lack of communication. And in fact, earlier this year, you know, I kind of put my foot down, you know, and I wrote a post on the Tavern saying, hey, Automatic, what's going on with this plugin? Does anybody know? And in that post, Philip John, VIP Wrangler at Automatic, commented on behalf of the company, and he apologized for the lack of communication and said that they were working on the plugin internally and that they were going to promise to get it out to us and to communicate those changes to us. So the team recently pushed out Editflow 0.8.2 and published a short blog post. So there's the communication part. But this the change log is massive. They fixed a number of bugs in this release. It contains a lot of improvements to localization and internationalization. And I've been using this for a long time, and one of the most annoying things or problems I've encountered with this plugin is that when I would edit a post on the Tavern with Editflow enabled through the WordPress for iOS mobile app, it would actually disable comments on the post, and I would have to log in via the desktop, visit the post, turn the comments back on. I mean, it was really annoying, and I'm happy to say that that bug has been fixed in this version.
Well, why don't you explain, since you use this every day, a lot more than me, what this plugin does?
All right, so what this does, it gives you there's an editorial calendar that you can use, so you can collaborate with people. It provides a meta box on the post screen for editorial comments.
Hold on. Get a little more granular than this. Okay, so you get you it's up in your dashboard, right where your posts are and such. You click on it, and a calendar pops up. Right?
Yeah, I think so. Okay. It's been a while since I visited different parts of the
back end. It basically allows you to drag and drop different posts or drafts or start a draft and pull it around onto the calendar so that you know exactly what you're going to write when. Right?
Yes.
Okay. Now, what else do you use it for?
Well, we usually one of the coolest things is it has custom statuses. So you can, instead of, you know, the typical post status is what, draft,
pending,
published. But in this one, you can hit, there's one called pending. So when you hit that, you can actually choose different authors on the site to be able to get a notification that is pending review. They can read that, and then in the meta box below the post, they can give you comments, editorial comments, basically saying, you know, change this, change that, all within the page. Now, you can't do that at the same time. This isn't real-time collaboration, but it does allow you to get everything done at one point, set it for pending, and then come back at a later time when you get an email notification that editorial comments are available for you in the WordPress backend. And notifications is actually another part of the plugin. There's also user groups. You can create something like a story budget. There's editorial metadata. There's a lot of stuff involved with this plugin that I don't use, but it is pretty cool. And I'm just thankful that some of these bugs have been fixed because, my God, it's been annoying the hell out of me.
Yeah. It's also used for, like you said, budgeting things, but also if you are an editor or you're assigning different people, you can actually create the draft. And then within the editing screen, you can also talk about what resources you need or, hey, we need a picture of this for the featured image. Sort of the behind the scenes sort of backstage editorial stuff. And that's why Editflow is used on mostly, I would say, blogs with more than one author, obviously, because if it's just you, you probably wouldn't need it. Yeah. I use it for scheduling purposes so that I know if I'm on track or if I'm behind the eight ball. So it's a very cool plugin and it's free. There's no money in it. It's absolutely free to try it. So if it's something you want to try and you have a regular amount of content that you post, I would say this is good. If you just post whenever you want, I don't think this is a tool you would use.
Yeah. So if anyone out there uses Editflow and you've experienced issues or bugs, you should definitely upgrade to 0.8.2 as they may be fixed in this release because there's a lot of bug fixes.
Yeah, there were. kudos to the team. Thank you.
So speaking of plugins, here's a big one. So W3 Total Cache. Now we're talking about a plugin that's used on over a million sites. It's active on over a million sites. A very popular free caching plugin for WordPress. Well, not too long ago, there was a, I believe it was a zero-day XSS, a cross-site scripting vulnerability that was discovered in the plugin in version 0.9.4. Over the weekend, some things happened, and then on Monday, Frederick Towns, who is the author and maintainer of the plugin, also of W3 Edge, the company behind it, the service provider, pushed out a release, 0.9.5, with the patch for the cross-site scripting vulnerability. But in addition to that, it also that version also came with a ton of additions and improvements that sort of left me and some other people scratching our heads. So what ended up happening is, first of all, people were surprised and really excited, kind of astonished to finally see an update notification for the plugin, because for the past 6 months to a year, it's really been dormant. Nobody has heard anything about what's going on. The lack of communication has been astounding for a plugin of this magnitude for how many people that's installed it. So there's that. But people were installing the new version because they were aware of the security update. However, because of all the improvements and additions that came into the plugin, quite a few people were reporting that their site crashed, that they're experiencing a white screen of death, that they were seeing these different error messages on top. So it didn't appear as though this plugin, this version, was tested with through a batch of beta testing users. It was just sort of pushed out there. And now, a couple of days later, but we've discovered that a lot of the incompatibilities or issues that people are having are compatibilities with other plugins. So things are not working right between certain plugins and W3 Total Cache because of some of the changes that the plugin made. Now, W3 Total Cache is Frederick Towns' plugin. It's his changelog. It's his release. He could do whatever he wants. But if I was in his position, I think maybe the better thing to have done, if possible, is to push out a version of the plugin that only has the cross-site scripting vulnerability patch and some of the other security fixes he had in the plugin, and then at a later point push out a release with all these other changes. And I say that because when I was reading the support forums, as people were encountering issues with this version, there were people suggesting that users go back to 0.9.4 because they didn't have any issues there. Everything worked. However, they were reinstalling or rolling back to a version that was that had an active security vulnerability. So that's not a solution. The solution is not to go back to a version that works but has a security vulnerability. That's a whammy. So there's an issue there, and there's a whole heap of things in there. It sort of left some people scratching their heads. I mean, it has things like it now has improved support for PHP 7. There's all kinds of other stuff, like support for Google Drive now, Amazon S3 compatible storage services, Rackspace, CDN Origin Pool, WPCLI support. I mean, there's all kinds of cool stuff that I think developers are excited about. It's just, boy, I think it would have been better had there been a lot more user testing in place with a group of installations or users that already use this version, because it was just kind of a mess there when it was pushed out.
It's tough. Anytime you update anything like that, it's tough. Just especially a plugin like any cache plugin, anything like this is
trouble. And it's not like, hey, I mean, over a million installs, you push on a new release, you're going to have issues, right? I mean, I think that's to be expected. But
yeah,
it's just weird that you have a security vulnerability, and then you push out a release. Now, granted, all these fixes were probably already there. He probably already had them packaged, and maybe the release was like, okay, now's a good time as ever to make these available to people. But I just think it would have been a lot better had the security fixes been its own release, and then you release on the new stuff, because at least that way we're not having users go back to a version that worked, but is now still also insecure.
These goofy plugin developers.
So I don't know what's going on. So there you go, W3 Total Cache. So if you're going to upgrade, which I highly advise you do, if you're capable of doing it, please do it on a staging site that matches your environment. Please test this out before you install it, because there are known compatibilities with other plugins. And this W3 Total Cache does a lot. I mean, a lot of different plugins kind of interface with it in the way that it caches things. So you're definitely, this is one plugin you definitely want to be testing new versions on in a staging environment before you upgrade in a production environment.
You brought up something very good, very valid, that I want to reinforce that has nothing to do with this plugin.
All right.
But when you say you want to develop it on a staging site that matches the environment of your live site, your mm-hmm. production site, that I can't stress that enough. I have run into issues where I've helped or consulted people and they're like, well, this plugin works for me on my stage site, but it doesn't work on the other site. And you're like, well, your stage site is a managed host at GoDaddy and you're running WP Engine on this other live site. Or
it's something WP on your local server. They're using a local server setup.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So make sure that you replicate the environment exactly when you're making stage sites versus live sites. Otherwise, it's not a stage. It's just another, you know, you're not doing a rehearsal, which is what that.
And a lot of these hosting companies these days, especially the managed WordPress hosting companies, make it pretty easy to duplicate your site, and you can make one staging and the other live. It's pretty easy mm-hmm. these days. So it's not like you have to go through this whole install process.
Yeah, I think a lot of people get lazy about it because sometimes you only get one license for a plugin or something like that that makes it so that you can't always do a stage.
I never even thought of that angle.
Yeah.
So you get two sites. You have two different domains. One is probably a subdomain.
Right.
So you have one license, but the key is probably tied into the domain, so you can't use it on both sites. I never even thought of that.
Yeah, that's true.
That's a great point.
Yeah, it happens a lot, actually.
Wow. So if you're going to do staging, you probably have to buy two licenses, huh?
Well, there are people that let you do, like, ThemeCo, which is the makers of Xtheme, which I really like. They it's a paid theme, so it's not free. They offer you a staging license.
Oh, really? I didn't know there was such a thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow, that's pretty cool. I have to look into that.
Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting. Boy, I'm enlightened. Every time Marcus is on a show with me, I get enlightened by him, by something.
Well, I've been on a show a lot, so you should be pretty smart by now.
Yeah, I should be pretty bright, but I don't know. So, on the topic of plugins, we're we haven't even gotten your plugin picks of the week. We're going to have
videos
here. But Automatic is going to revive WP Job Manager. So, WP Job Manager is this job listings plugin that was part – or that became an Automatic project after Automatic acquired WooCommerce and its employees back in 2015. But after the acquisition, the plugin hasn't been developed for a long time. So today, the company announced that it's assembled a team of people who will actively work on WP Job Manager as part of their main role. And one of the things they're looking for is for feedback from users because they want to know what are the most requested features, what are the most requested things people want out of this plugin. They're working on pushing out a patch to fix the most annoying bugs that have been reported. And WP Job Manager, they actually launched a demo site today. So you can visit that. You can see what it's like. And it allows potential customers to test drive commercial add-ons and create new accounts as well as job listings and applications. So that's pretty cool stuff. Now, I will say that a company started by Scott Basgard and Cohen Jacobs called The Look and Feel, they actually forked WP Job Manager, and they created a plugin called Listings. And the reason they did that was because, well, WP Job Manager is a pretty popular plugin. It was great at what it did. But development ceased for such a long time, and nobody knew what was going on. So they took the initiative. They forked it. They're doing something sort of in their own style now. And They made a couple of comments about embracing the competition. Now with WP Job Manager coming back, so there's still listings is still going to be there, and they're going to tackle things their way. And now WP Job Manager is coming back, and Automatic's going to pump some resources and time into that. So great news for anyone out there who is a former or still current WP Job Manager user. You're going to be getting some pretty nifty updates and cool features in the not too distant future.
Well, I'm glad they're looking for feedback, because here's mine.
All right.
Drum roll. The incarnation of this plugin in combination with all of the add-ons make it like you're buying tickets at Ticketmaster. It may seem like it's only $30 a ticket, but by the time you get to the end and all the extra stuff and all the add-ons, you're paying like $200 a ticket.
Boy, that sounds like WooCommerce.
I kind of think it's a ripoff, frankly. Because little things just like log it, you know, apply with Facebook. That's like an extra $30. If I want this feed, an extra $30. $30 here. I think it's a ripoff for the functionality that it does now. They shouldn't be charging anywhere near what they are.
Yeah, I'm taking a look at their add-ons page and apply with Facebook. Allows candidates to apply to jobs via email using their Facebook profile. $19.
Don't ever do that if you're listening. Bookmarks. Don't ever apply for a job with your Facebook profile.
Allow logged in candidates and employers to bookmark jobs and resumes along with an added note. $19.
And I got to pay for that? That should be functionality that's built into this thing.
Job tags. Tag jobs with required skills, interests, and technology. Show jobs by tag using short codes and add tag filtering to the main job short code. $19.
Right.
So I think I'm starting to see your point here.
Aren't you? It's a ripoff. Well, how much would all those features cost you? Probably $400, $300, right? How many plugins are there?
Embeddable job widget. Show a form on your site that users can use to generate an embeddable job widget showing job listings from your site. $19. Well, you know what? I'm going to have to say that you're validated. I'm going to validate your argument here.
Your feedback
is validated. This seems ridiculous.
It's completely ridiculous when you can go to ThemeForest and buy a theme for $60 that does all that. I mean, granted, you're locked into a theme then, but I'm telling you, that's too much.
This seems like a lot of nickel and diamond going on for features that, you know, over time should just be rolled in as just out of the box things that it should do. Wow.
Right. Or it should just have like a you know, full on pro version that has all that.
Yeah. Yeah, wow. Well, there you go. So your feedback's invalidated. How about that?
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that.
So one of the last things I wanted to talk about before we get into something I've been wanting to discuss here for a little while, a particular story I've worked on and really followed for the past couple months. Now, if you've noticed that prices on ThemeForest have been going up, maybe some of them are going down. There's a reason for that. And that's because Envato has been rolling out author-driven pricing across ThemeForest categories throughout this year. And they've now allowed it's finally hit the WordPress category where authors are now able to experiment with pricing changes outside of the $35 to $65 range. Ben Chan, who is the executive general manager over at Envato, says that they've come to understand that fixed Envato control pricing works as a disincentive for many authors and limits the community's ability to respond to market trends. And by moving to an author-driven model, we expect to see a greater range of higher quality items, more creative pricing strategies, increased responsiveness to trends, and happier customers. With the ability to be able to adjust your price without Envato saying, no, you can't do that, it should allow authors to do that. Now, Chan said that ThemeForest anticipated authors would be concerned about the race to the bottom. I know a lot of other people thought that that's what would happen, which would make it impossible for some people to afford to sell on the marketplace. But on other properties that they've had, they haven't seen that occur. So I think it's just a concern that's probably not going to materialize. Now, we do have things that are some of the price ranges go from $13 up to $1 million. And, you know, really? The million dollar thing is a joke. I think it's a PDF or something. that you could buy. Nobody's ever going to buy it if you have common sense. But anyways, there's a lot of different authors now who are maybe have a couple of products that, let's say it's for $59. Well, maybe they bump it up to $65, or maybe it was $20 and now it's $25. And there's some other people who are have maybe special niche themes that were around $65. Maybe they bumped them up to $200. And it's not just to rip people off, but you know, people, they're attracting a different type of customer at that price range, somebody who's willing to pay that. So there's a lot of different experimentation going on, and it's going to be interesting to see within a year from now how this all shakes out and how the different price trends happen on ThemeForce.
Well, this, I think, allows theme developers to also create flash sales and introductory kind of early bird things that they launch to the site. If somebody's already a purchaser of one theme that they've developed, perhaps they want to switch over to another one or add this to their portfolio. You know, maybe you can get special pricing for that. So ability, I like the fact that they're passing a lot of that on to the theme developer. However, I do want to caution theme developers that really don't know a lot about pricing. I would stick with the trends rather than trying to get greedy about it, because you may price yourself out of business.
Yeah, I'd say on average, outside the market, in the open market, outside of Envato ThemeForest, now what would you say the average price of a theme is? I'd say anywhere between, for a 1-year license for a theme, I'd say anywhere between $49 and $80 on the high end.
Yeah, I'll give you that. Yeah, that's right.
And I have seen a couple themes out there for over $100. But, you know, hey, that's, if people were buying them, you know, it's probably because it's highly niche, it's highly specialized. Maybe it comes with some things that you just can't find anywhere else. Maybe it's the support, maybe it's the company, I don't know. But some of these people out there are able to command a higher price point, and people are buying them. And, you know, and how about this take on, well, I have a specialty or a special theme, and I want to charge, you know, $200 for it. How about this idea of aiming for the different customer? No, a customer that's different from, let's say, someone who's willing to pay $50. Maybe they have a different set of expectations. Maybe that customer is easier to deal with. I don't know. You know, what are some of the differences in a customer that's willing to pay $200 or something versus $50?
Well, it matters about functionality. So if I'm a car dealer and I can find a theme that actually has an internal database that can talk to some of the other things, or if I'm a realtor and I can get something that ties into an API key that works on the MLS realtor database, I'm going to pay a little bit more for that. If it's just something that has a graphic of a doctor's office and doesn't have doctor's office functionality, don't think that that warrants it just because you're targeting a different industry. You've got to give them results on the other end. You've got to give them functions that make their business easier to do.
No, is it that the people who are willing to pay a higher price amount for a theme are those people who have the ability to see the amount of value that theme provides them? I don't know. Maybe that has something to do with it too.
Yeah. I don't know. And it could also be this, like, I would use a theme that I know is super easy to build and super easy to make different client builds and saves me time and pay a lot more for that than something that's clunky and it's going to take me days to modify.
Yeah. Because if you're going to be doing that, you're losing money by spending all that time modifying a clunky theme.
That's right. I'll pay.
So you're offsetting that cost by paying for something that works better out of the box.
That's right.
There you go. Wait, there you go. Economics 101, right?
Yep. So right. I'm on a hot streak here. I'm getting validated at every story.
At every turn. Marcus is right. Wow, this is a rarity. You have to save this show. Put this baby in the archives.
Yeah, well, there's still one article. No, actually, that's it.
No, that's it for the news of the week. Oh, by the way, there's development going on with regards to WordPress 4.7. The team continues to churn away on the default theme 2017. We're 3 weeks away from the merge proposal deadline to where certain features or proposals will be able to get merged in the core for the 4.7 release. I participated in the meeting today. Well, I shouldn't say participated, but I lurked I lurked in the meeting today, and I was reading what was going on, and there's some pretty interesting discussions going on, mainly around the REST API, the endpoints. There's some work going on there. They're finally starting to make some progress there with the REST API. But there's also this cool idea, and there's going to be a feature proposal published about it next week, and we're going to talk more about it on the show because I think it's a quite neat idea. But it's this notion of using the customizer as a way to do apply CSS edits or changes to a theme and have those changes saved in the database, kind of like the Jetpack Edit CSS plugin or module. And that way, and because you're using a customizer, you'd have revisions, so you could easily roll back if you don't like what you see, and you could also preview the changes live. And this was a neat idea, and I'm like, wow, that's pretty cool. So this is actually going to be proposed for core next week. Who knows if it's going to make it, but I thought that was a neat idea because we're talking about something that, you know, we're always telling users, Marcus, that if you're going to edit a theme, you have to create a child theme because that way when you update the parent theme, you don't lose your changes in the child theme. Well, let's say there's two or three, four little CSS changes you want to make, or you want to add some CSS to change the output of a plugin on your front end. Maybe it's the poll or the buttons or something. Well, it's a pain in the rear to go through the process of creating a CSS file and essentially a child theme just to have those CSS changes. So something like this would eliminate that process altogether. I think it would be a lot more user-friendly. And with the addition of revisions and live preview, man, that makes a whole lot of sense. That makes it even better than what you get with the Jetpack Edit CSS module.
It's missing one piece. I want to be able to import and export the customizer, including those settings.
Oh, yeah.
That way I can create my own stock default, whatever it is, the things that I'm revising constantly. If I'm using one theme in particular over and over for different clients, why can't I get my own canvas the way that I want to start with? And so I should be able to export those settings in the customizer and be able to import them back into a fresh installation.
Or what about maybe just exporting the settings, everything that's tied to a theme, and importing that into a new theme, including everything you have configured in the customizer? Wouldn't that be better? Or do you just want import export just for the customizer?
I think just for the customizer. I mean, what's the difference? I mean, I know that you'd want, if the customizer is going to be dealing with widgets and menus and all the rest of the stuff, why shouldn't I be able to save and export that?
Right. And the other thing to note here is we're not talking about changing or applying or changing and adding the CSS to the actual CSS file of the theme. These are things that are going to be stored in settings or options, something to that effect in the database. So that way you could switch entirely different themes. Your CSS changes are still there for the plugins. Makes it easy to edit and you don't have to worry about files or anything of that nature. And there, I saw a brief on the track ticket. I saw an image or a concept image, and it was pretty nice, you know. And it told you to make sure that your brackets are closed. You know, if it detected that a bracket wasn't there, it gave you a little notice that said, hey, you might want to close this bracket. And there's some other neat stuff in there as well. So I can't wait to sort of give that a test drive, see how it works. And you and I should both give it a test drive and report back on what we think about it on the show. Because I think if it can eliminate for a lot of people the ability or the need to create a child theme, I think that's a huge win for users.
Well, that plus, now that I'm thinking about it even more, if you have like corporate branding or you have specific fonts and specific color styles and things, why wouldn't you want to be able to get your branded CSS and be able to apply that if you started a new site? That would actually work.
Yeah, you could do that. And the other part about all of this too is depending how this all shakes out, this could be, you know, if it lands in core or if it's merged in, this could be the first step in possibly retiring and eventually removing the theme editor in WordPress.
No, don't do that. I still need it.
So we'll see what happens. That's a long ways off. That's speculation. That's that's way off, but I mean, it's a possibility depending on how this all works.
So let me guess here, Jeff, in this meeting that you lurked in, they were talking about the media library, right? And how they were going to fix it and how they're going to make it great again.
Now there are some changes. There are some things being worked on in the media library, like they're working on some tickets where you'll be able to search images via file name, because so far that's been ignored when you do a search for an image.
Oh, great. So I'm sorry, guys. That's not going to work because I'm still searching through 9,000 images.
Well, I mean, I will say that there are quite a few tickets around media that they're working on. But in terms of organization, I did not come across anything yet. I will let you know. I'll keep you updated because I don't want you to, blow your
searching
top.
A file name. Who's going to know the whole file?
No. You know, it's just one part of the process of searching. You know, it's just an added
thing. It just makes me feel like they're just throwing darts behind their back. They're just going, oh, yeah. Get searched the file name. Oh, whip-de-doo. Okay, what else?
Okay, well.
What else? Come on, give me something.
No, that's it. I mean, that's
all. Oh, that's it?
I'll show you the tickets that they're working on. Hey, you know what? Patches are welcome, sir.
Yeah, I know. I know.
I've been waiting a long time to tell that to someone.
If I was a good enough coder, this problem would be solved.
All right, so I want to step out of there. That's kind of what's been going on with WordPress 4.7. I wanted to take some time today to sort of share and discuss some things I've gone through and discuss this story, both with my journalist hat on and on the other side of it, take my journalist hat off, because there's some opinions and things I like to say, without that notion that I'm a reporter. Okay. So every now and then I've mentioned this story about Headway Themes, and Headway Themes is a company that was started several years ago by father and son duo, Grant and Clay Griffiths, Clay being Grant's son. And Headway Themes is a theme builder, and it's a pretty darn cool theme builder. And to this day, despite everything that's going on here, a lot of their core user base believes that there's nothing else on the market, despite all the page builders and stuff that's out there, that compares to what Headway Themes is able to accomplish, or basically Headway. Headway is the actual product. Headway Themes is the company. So back on August 10th, I wrote and published a story on WP Tavern, which highlighted some things I've been hearing about through the grapevine, about some signs of trouble, pretty much, that was going on at the company, where in July, a disgruntled customer published a post on the WordPress subreddit, pretty much warning people not to purchase the product. And in that post, the customer suggested boycotting the company. I mean, this is one upset customer. Now, that post actually generated 30 comments, and the day after it was published, Clay Griffiths responded to the thread, thanking people for their concern. He actually acknowledged that there was a lack of communication and stated that Headway 4.0.7 would be released by the end of that week to address common bugs that were being reported by customers. So there's that issue. And then at this time, Headway customers were complaining of a lack of communication. So when I wrote this post, May 9th, 2016 was the last known blog post on the company's blog. The company's Twitter account was somewhat more active with a pinned tweet on June 15th. But that was actually advertising Gravity Forum, so that kind of doesn't count in my book. But there was a reply from Grant Griffiths to a user on July 7th. And then the last post on the company's Facebook page was on May 2nd, announcing the release of Headway 4. And on top of all of that, there's a screenshot I obtained where Headway support forums, which are only accessible to paying customers, there were a lot of posts in there from concerned customers asking if the company had gone out of business. What's going on with the support tickets? How come nobody's answering me? What's going on? And these are all pretty much things a concerned customer would likely be able to say if they haven't heard from anything and they haven't seen any public communication. So I wrote about this, and in addition to all this, I was talking to some people behind the scenes, and I confirmed with multiple anonymous sources that the company was actually experiencing some financial trouble where Headway was actually kind of laid off their staff, or their staff left, and because they weren't being paid, and third-party developers were also not being paid. Now I tried to reach out to Clay via Slack on post status, because I know he's active on there. I also tried to reach him on the community Slack group for Headway. And then I also tried to contact him via direct message on Twitter, because I know he was active. And at the time, I thought Clay was the public face of the company. From everyone I talked to, it was all Clay, which is why I chose at that time not to contact Grant. Now, you know, throughout the midst of all this, in retrospect, I probably should have contacted him to get his reply on all this. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. So at this point, I said, hey, customers just want an explanation as to what's going on. So after that, 2 or 3 weeks went by to give them time to figure out what's going on. And the more I dug into this story, the more I dug into what was going on at Headway, the worse it got. I mean, it was like having VIP passes to watching a company crumble and go downhill. It was sad. It was emotional. And I knew when reporting this story that it was going to have my words were going to have an impact on both the company and the people involved and the customers and my sources. It was tough going. After 2 or 3 weeks or so, I published a follow-up post pretty much saying what's been going on. And this was on September 9th, pretty much explaining that customers were still in the dark. So even after all that, the first post, communication was still silent. There was a whole lot of things going on that were just bad. And I know from my years of writing about WordPress news and the relationships I have, I know that there are certain people in the WordPress community that have strong personal ties and relationships to both Clay and Grant. And in the midst of writing the story, as I was doing more research and I uncovered things that were just sort of mind-blowing to me as business owners, it was like I contacted some people that had close ties to them. I said, hey, you may want to go have a talk with Clay or Grant, because these are some seriously bad things that are going on here. And you need to talk them into communicating with their customers about all these things and get things under control, because this is bad stuff, what I'm finding out. And I did that, you know, take away all the journalist stuff. You know, Clay is a young man. He's been working on Headway now since he was a teenager. He's been working on it for a long time. And he's a smart kid, and I like Clay. And there's a lot of people who in the community that are kind of like Clay's role model. They have strong ties to him. And I was thinking, man, you know, it would suck if all this is true. And he just launched a separate business entity called Pressmatic, which a lot of WordPress developers speak very highly of. It's an impressive product. But at the same time, unfortunately, if all this stuff in Headway was going on, I felt like it was really going to hamper his efforts with Pressmatic. It was going to look bad on him, and it would probably, you know, it would be a hangover of sorts. I don't know, Marcus, did you have something to say as I'm telling this story?
No, it's a common thing. I mean, anytime you get businesses like this involved, and especially a family business, then things can burn out fast.
Yeah, and I knew of the personal. Hey, look, business is hard, and I understand that, and I know there's a family dynamic here, and I feel like I respected that. But anyway, so I published a post. You know, we're doing this here, and there's this continuing thing of no communication and nothing's going on, and then. Now we get to September 11th, where a former Headway Themes employee went public on a blog post where it was Gary Bard, and he went public because he was a former employee of Headway Themes. He's one who has been paid, and from his point of view, you know, he's trying to talk to Grant and Clay. He's trying to figure out when he's going to get paid. He's trying to figure out what's going on, what they're doing with support, and he's not getting any answers. And he's at one point he's owed thousands of dollars of back pay, and he ends up having to leave the company because he can't. I mean, he's working for free, So he ends up leaving, and he writes this big, long blog post, and the blog post is his nuclear option. It's not something that, you know, this isn't just a thing that happened within a week, and here he is. He's just a disgruntled employee writing his anger about the company. This is a nuclear option that he used after months of talking to people within the company, trying to get things resolved, trying to get them to answer his questions, trying to get them to answer support.
And was so he that, remote, by the way? Was he?
Yeah, so Gary is remote, and he was, I think he's based over in Europe or France, I believe. And I think that had, in some part of all this, maybe that had an impact on the communication part. And we sort of talked about this a little bit. But, I mean, you know, the whole thing with remote workers, I think it's a lot harder to get away with something like this, not communicating to somebody if you're remote versus if you have to see them physically in the office every day.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean, that's one thing to sort of take note of for all the hype and stance around remote workers these days is, you know, when communication comes into play, and especially when it involves money.
Yeah, that's the biggest lesson.
It's hard to hide when everybody's in the same physical place.
It's the biggest lesson I ever learned with dealing with outsourcers. Do not jerk around with their pay. Don't say I'll pay you tomorrow when you said you'd pay them today. Don't do that because it can go badly quick.
So I took a lot of heat publishing the post that says that said that they were dealing with some financial issues. But lo and behold, you know, a couple weeks later, Gary Bard publishes this post and actually confirms that he hasn't been paid, that there are other people who haven't been paid. He's got screenshots of conversations that have taken place. And it was just it's a bad situation. He just confirmed a lot of things that I've been reporting on, and Sarah and I have both been reporting on. And, you know, there's a lot of things that happen in this story. I'm kind of going on and on here. I'm long-winded, but this is one of the toughest stories that I've written. This is one of the stories that I've really I bid on, and I just stayed on. And eventually, both Grant and Clay, they published an apology on the Headway Themes blog, and the apology talks about the lack of communication they've experienced. They talk about some things going on with the products, how they're moving one back to beta and the other they're going to be working on. And, they talk about some of the financial issues. They confirm that the company was dealing with financial issues. So there's that. And then, but there was no mention of not being able to pay employees. There was no specific things mentioned. And I think we've been, I don't know if I want to say accused, but the word grossly reported, those words have been said in terms of our reporting on what's been going on at Headway Themes. But I mean,
Tell you the term that pissed me off was somebody said that you were doing a witch hunt.
Well, there is that too. So there was this idea that Sarah and I on the tavern were doing a witch hunt against Clay and Grant Griffiths, which is totally not true. I mean, you know, it might be true if we were publishing every little mistake that they were making as business owners. Now that might be a witch hunt. Then you might have some validity. But when you're publishing 2, 3, 4 articles and you're concentrating on how it's impacting customers and what they're saying and what they're thinking and how they're not communicating to people and the things that are at stake here, it's not a witch hunt. It's telling people, hey, this is what's going on here. Heads up. You know, you may not want to give this company your money here right now because there are some really sketchy things that are going on. And that's what we were doing. We were informing people and potential consumers, potential buyers and customers that are already there that had no idea what was going on. We were keeping them informed because they had no clue. Because why? Because the business owners were not communicating. You know, it all comes down to communication. And taking off my journalist hat, I want to talk a little bit about the apology. Now, I think the apology is something that was just should have came a long time ago, and they admitted that. But I would have liked to have seen the apology come out and be specific. I wanted them to specifically apologize to your employees by name because the community and the other people know them by name and say what they're going to do for them and come out and say exactly what happened with their support system. And I wish they would have came out and stated exactly how they ended up in the situation they were going to be in or that they were in. And I'd also want to see them set out some plans about what they're going to do to dig themselves out of the hole. And I didn't see any of that in the apology. And I think that had Sarah and I not continued our reporting on Headway Themes and applied the pressure and continued, I don't think that apology would have been published. I don't think it would have been written. I don't think it would have been published. No. And customers and employees would still be in the dark and getting shafted by this company. There's a lot of lessons to be learned here for people in the WordPress business space. If you're running products or whatever, A, communication, God, you got to have it. Just be honest, be truly honest with as much as you can about what's going on with the business at, I don't want to say as often as you can, but in regular intervals, maybe a few times a week, that's all that's required, just so people are in the know. But when you go months at a time without telling anybody anything, this is what happens. People assume the worst, and then your customers are left speculating what the hell is going on. And speculation could turn into this ugly monster that could be 100 times worse than if you just read a simple blog post or a tweet explaining what's going on. It's a vicious cycle when you don't communicate.
I agree. And those that commented negatively should be ashamed of themselves. They should understand that when we're writing these types of things, it's being an advocate for the community. It's not to be tearing somebody down. We don't want that. We all want every WordPress company to strive and profit and survive. That's what grows our community as a whole. We'll never get to the levels of coverage of the internet that is the goal if we don't have the corporate support and the corporate development behind it.
So, and that's one of the funny things to me is like 90% of the coverage or the news or the stuff we publish on WP Tavern is positive for these companies, for these services. And then we come out and we start writing things that say, hey, there's some really bad stuff that's going on with this company. Boom. Terms like witch hunt come out of the woodwork or being grossly reported and you're reporting on these people too much. We start reporting negatively on a company, and now this is what people say, and this is how people react. I mean, give me a break. I mean, we're reporting. We're not on, you know, it's consumers and readers first. The business owners come last because it's the customers and the readers that, you know, that allow you to have a business in the first place.
Yeah, and the other thing about it is, let me ask you this. Have in any instance where you've talked about the negative aspects of a company, have you ever been wrong?
No, not really, because almost every time I do, it's public knowledge.
There you go. There's no agenda. I mean, there's nothing there that anybody can surmise. There's no track record. There's no history of you getting into negative reporting that's not based on fact.
Yeah, and that's something else I was kind of laughing about now that you bring that up, is some people saying, well, because you guys at the tavern keep writing negatively on this company, they're never going to be able to get back on their feet. You guys are responsible for what? And I'm like, hey, whoa, that's... Come on. I mean,
right. Tell that company, to the guy that didn't get paid.
This company is in the position it's in because of months of what's been going on over there. And I just happen to be reporting on it now. This stuff's been going on long before I ever got involved or I ever found out about it. And it just came to a head. That's all it is. I mean, there's no way, if anything, and I'm really proud of our work and the way we reported on Headway, because we got that apology out. Things are starting to turn around. I'm happy to say that some of the former employees have gotten partial payments of the money they're owed. I don't know what's going on with the support aspect, but things do appear to be on the upswing. And, you know, hey, I would love to write a follow-up post about Headway on how they're changing things, about how they're going to turn things around and rebuild Headway into the thing it once, into the great thing it once was and to some people still is. And, you know, it's funny that the core group of users that have not left or, you know, throughout all this ordeal and putting up with the lack of communication, if they're still there, the people who swear by Headway, You know, that's a core group of people you could rebuild your business on. It won't be overnight, but it's something. It's not like you're left with just ashes to rebuild a home. So they have something there to rebuild trust. It will take a while, but it's possible. I think we did the potential customers, the existing customers of Headway. I think we did our readers. I think we did everyone a service by doing this kind of reporting on the company. And, you know, it was hard for me to – I was supposed to be on vacation, but here I am sort of addicted to what's going on with Headway, following up on leads. And, you know, I was really into it, and I felt like we were doing a good thing. And I'm proud of the work me and Sarah did on it, and that's the end of that in terms of Headway.
Yeah, let's close the book. Hopefully they can revive, but if not, to all the retractors out there, you know, all the negative people that are out there, I'm fairly certain, Jeff, as you said, that if you did not bring this to light, that they would be still in the shadows, not saying anything.
I tend to agree. You know, it's simple. Don't shaft your employees. Don't shaft your customers. And tell people, be honest and communicate as well and as much as you can. And a lot of this stuff becomes, I wouldn't say a non-issue, but probably a lot less of an issue than just being silent and just sort of turning a blind eye. I mean, it's there's a lot of lessons to be learned, and I hope some business owners, some more smart people in the community can maybe publish those or do a retrospective, like a case study on this, because I think it's worthy of one to try and prevent other business owners from making the same mistakes.
Absolutely.
All right. So, good God, I need a whole gallon of water. Let's wrap it up with your plug and picks of the week.
All right, man, you got it. So the first one out of the gate today we've got is something that's very important for membership sites, and that's something I cover a lot on over at membershipcoach.com. This one's called Card Expiration Reminder for Stripe. More often, people are starting to use Stripe instead of PayPal for their, for merchant processing and taking payments. Well, this plugin actually runs a customizable report and notifies Stripe subscription customers that their credit cards are going to expire soon and that they want to update their card on file. So you can set a date range and the email settings. So you can say, you know, maybe 30 days from now, 60 days from now, whatever. You can notify your customers before their card gets declined and have them update their payment method right in the My Account page. So that's pretty cool if you run recurring subscriptions from Stripe. That one's called Card Expiration Reminder. The next one, Jeff, is called Sales Notify for WooCommerce. Perhaps you've been on a travel site or maybe a hotel site. I've seen these things where it says like three people are watching this item or two people just booked this or, you know, somebody from Canada just booked a room here. This allows you to do the same thing. So, Jeff, in your case, it could be like someone in Ohio just purchased a heavy-duty snow shovel for the pending snow, all those things. So it's pretty nice. Sales Notify for WooCommerce. And finally, Jeff, this is something that's, I think, pretty revolutionary. It's called WP Amazon SES SMTP. And this plugin connects.
Say that 10 times fast.
It connects Amazon SES, which is a server-based, to your WordPress website for sending emails. It bypasses totally the normal WP Mail function and sends email using the Amazon SES service instead. So you just add your SES host name, your region, all the different account stuff, and then all of the emails will start delivering through Amazon SES. And I'm guessing that that would probably increase your inbox rate and lower your spam rate if you went that way. Just a guess. And those are my plug-in picks of the week.
So before we wrap it up here, I did see this come across a comment on episode 247 on WP Tavern, but Martin B, I hope I get your name correct, who is actually the author of the Business Hours Indicator plugin that you mentioned on that show,
yes.
Marcus. He stopped by and said, just wanted to say thanks for picking it as one of the show's plugins. He actually saw a spike in downloads, and he ended up there on the show because he found out where the link was.
Yeah.
But he says that it's my first plugin and definitely motivates me to write more. Wonderful podcast. Thanks. So you made that guy's day, Marcus.
Well, I waited 4 years for that plugin, so maybe I should slip him a note on what he should work on next.
I think he'd appreciate that. Awesome.
That's a service I should provide. I want to write a plugin. What should I make? Tweet me that I'll tell you.
All right. So that's going to do it for this episode of WordPress Weekly. I'm so long-winded. Holy smokes. But
it's different when we don't have a guest.
Right. Next week on the 5th of October, we're going to be in October already. We're going to have on Matt Cromwell, the author of – he works for Word Impress, and they have a product out there called GiveWP. So he's going to be on the show, and he's going to tell us a bit about his WordPress journey, and we're going to talk to him about what it's like to be in a WordPress product space with a plugin like GiveWP, see what it's like there out there in the donations vertical.
Yeah, I just had dinner and sat across from him. So I didn't book him on the show. You did, but it was great. Great to meet him, and I can't wait to have him on the show to learn more about what he does.
So that's going to do it for this edition of WordPress Weekly. You can find show notes and all the other episodes on WPTavern.com. You can follow me on Twitter at Jeffro. That's JeffrZero. And Marcus?
Well, I just want to say, before I get into the contact stuff, 250 episodes next week, man. That's going to be amazing.
Number 250.
What a great milestone.
On our way to 300.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. My other show's on the way to 300, too. That's weird. I'm on more podcasts than anybody else. That's bizarre.
I'm going to call you the podcast junkie.
Yeah, I got to find a new niche now. And I got to get out of WordPress and do something else. You can find me at MarcusCouch.com, at MembershipCouch.com, and follow me on Twitter at MarcusCouch.
And until next week, everybody have a safe, enjoyable weekend. We'll talk to you again soon. Bye-bye.